Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. President Reagan's special emissary on the Lebanese crisis, Philip Habib, has reached Paris today and is holding what are described as private meetings before returning to the Middle East tomorrow. His destination and his prospects for easing the crisis caused by Syrian missiles in Lebanon are not known. Meanwhile, there had been reports of a possible escalation, Israel responding with the movement of its own missiles. But in Jerusalem, Bruno Wassertal finds an unofficial denial.
Sheer nonsense. That's the way Israeli military sources are describing a report from Washington claiming that Israel has deployed American-made surface-to-air missiles in southern Lebanon. Though officially the Army's spokesman's office here has declined to comment on the report, it always does on matters of this nature, the military sources are emphatic in their insistence that the story is just so much hot air. The Washington report, attributed to American intelligence sources, claims that Israel has moved U.S.-built Hawk ground-to-air missiles close to a mile inside Lebanese territory. Such a move would seem to make little strategic sense and would seem to be of questionable diplomatic value in trying to get the Syrians to move their missiles out of Lebanon. A spokesman for the United Nations peacekeeping forces in southern Lebanon told CBS News that their observers saw no evidence of any Israeli movement of surface-to-air missiles into that region. Bruno Wassertal, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The presence of the U.S. aircraft carrier Midway continues to bring protest in Japan today. Bruce Dunning has the latest from Tokyo.
Demonstrations against the alleged introduction of U.S. nuclear weapons continued into a second day after the arrival of the carrier Midway. In Yokosuka, where the Midway is now docked, boatloads of protesters circled the harbor shouting chants and waving banners demanding the removal of the ship and all nuclear weapons. In Tokyo, the Socialist Party and affiliated labor unions held a mass rally and street marches denouncing the return of the carrier. Socialist Party Chairman Ichiro Asakata charged that the Midway carried a nuclear warhead, a 1,000 times more powerful than the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Asakata said this is the time to fight to save Japan's non-nuclear policies, not to possess, manufacture, or allow nuclear weapons into Japan. The government is hoping that the issue will now die down, especially since the parliament ended its session today, depriving the opposition parties of a forum to attack the government and the U.S.-Japan military treaty. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The world's first test tube twins, a boy and a girl, were born today in a hospital in Melbourne, Australia. The babies, fertilized outside the body of the mother, were named Stephen and Amanda. Doctors report that Stephen may be suffering from a heart ailment. The twins became Australia's fifth and sixth test tube babies. Two others have been born in Great Britain.
Datsun presents One Less Thing to Worry About.
Have a Datsun. It's good for you.
If you'd like to have a car that treats gas like gold, runs on quality, and keeps on running, do what 4 million Americans did. Have a Datsun.
Have a Datsun. It's good for you. It's good for you.
Have a 5-speed Datsun 210. Have a 4. Have an EPA-estimated 31 mpg, 44 highway. Use 31 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less. The Datsun 210, an affordable car that's high in mileage, low in troubles, good-looking and long-lasting. That's what driven means, building a car that's actually good for you.
Have a Datsun. It's good for you. It's good for you. Have a Datsun. It's good for you.
KNX News Radio Time, 7:04.
With Secretary of State Alexander Haig preparing to leave next week for the Far East and eventually China, a senior State Department official has said that Haig will be seeking a richer dialogue on arms sales to China. In Moscow, Steve Young reports the Russian reaction so far minimal.
In view of the tense state of relations between the Soviet Union and China, comment here has been surprisingly subdued thus far on the State Department announcement that the Reagan administration might sell defense-related equipment to Peking. The Soviet news agency TASS has reported without comment that American wire service stories indicate Washington will display more flexibility on the issue of military technology sales to China. A Soviet newspaper charges that Peking continues to slander the Soviet-installed government in Afghanistan and refers to the aggressive aspirations of Chinese in the region. Trading blows with the Kremlin, a leading Chinese newspaper today terms despicable and a fantastic lie, a Soviet news agency story that China somehow was behind the assassination of the president of Bangladesh. Steve Young, CBS News, Moscow.
The Reagan administration has suffered a first defeat on a nomination, with a request yesterday by Ernest Lefevre to have his name withdrawn as the nominee for the post of Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights. A number of Lefevre's views, including his feeling that human rights violations by communist countries and by allies should be dealt with differently, had drawn fire. Richard Roth has more.
In a letter to the president, Lefevre said he did not wish to put up with what he called suspicion and character assassination used by his opponents. Given the circumstances, he said, I request that you withdraw my name. The circumstances had been explained to Lefevre by the would-be manager of his nomination on the Senate floor, Hayakawa of California. After the Foreign Relations Committee voted 13-4 against Lefevre, Hayakawa told him there wouldn't be enough support to sustain the fight. Later, disclaiming bitterness, Lefevre called the debate over his nomination unworthy of a democratic society.
I would have enjoyed, appreciated, and would have welcomed a serious debate on foreign policy and human rights. Unfortunately, that debate never materialized because very early on, a grotesque caricature of me had been portrayed, and I've been trying to fight this caricature and let the American people and senators know the human being I was and the compassion I had for anybody who was suffering.
Lefevre said that after he withdrew, he received a phone call from the president expressing sadness, regret, and, in Lefevre's words, confidence in my integrity. Richard Roth, CBS News, Washington.
The call came from Camp David, where Mr. Reagan is spending the weekend. There is some speculation in Washington that President Reagan may now simply leave the human rights post vacant, at least for the foreseeable future.
Here's a truck tough enough for bruising, luxurious enough for cruising, and that's good for you.
Have a Datsun. It's good for you. It's good for you.
I'm talking about the Datsun King Cab GL, roomiest pickup in its class. This rugged beauty will work its tailgate off, but still looks mighty good in town.
Have a Datsun. It's good for you. Good for you.
Reclining buckets, five speeds, fold-down jump seats. How about that? Radios, AM, FM, all standard. Best of all, more power from less gas than last year with the King Cab's incredible Hemi engine. EPA rated a whopping 25 mpg, 33 highway. Use 25 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less. The Datsun King Cab proves we are driven. That's good for you.
Finally, the end of the nation's soft coal strike may be in sight, with miners throughout the coal fields voting today on the latest contract proposal. Richard Wagner reports from Masontown, Pennsylvania.
On the 72nd day of this strike, some 160,000 members of the United Mine Workers Union are eligible to vote on the second contract worked out by the Union Bargaining Council and the coal mine operators. The first contract proposal was rejected by the miners last March 31st. The margin was better than 2-1. The issue is not money. Under these terms, the miners will be making a top wage of some $14 an hour by 1984. The issue, the miners say, is the survival of their union. The first rejected contract did away with two long-standing provisions dear to the miners' hearts. The payment of royalties by the mine operators to the Union Health and Retirement Fund when the operators purchased coal dug in non-union mines, and union jurisdiction over construction and maintenance work done by the employees of subcontractors in union mines. Both these provisions have been restored to the union in this contract proposal. Union President Sam Church predicts the miners will vote to accept this contract. He made a similar prediction last March. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Masontown, Pennsylvania.
The vote is being tabulated in Washington, and results should be known by this evening. If the new contract is ratified, the miners can go back to work on Monday. In West Virginia, Governor Jay Rockefeller says that his state has weathered the long shutdown without major economic damage if the strike ends soon. Rockefeller ordered budget cuts during the strike. Will there be a Triple Crown winner in three-year-old horse racing this year? The odds are even for showers today in New York, and that could be a factor in this afternoon's running of the Mile and a Half Belmont. History poses some odds, too, as Wynn Elliott reports.
First the Derby, then the Preakness, and now this afternoon the Belmont, the Triple Crown. And in all racing history, only 11 three-year-olds have won all three. And if this afternoon trainer John Campo's Pleasant Colony wins the mile-and-a-half test of champions, it's an even dozen. And John Campo, his irreverent, outspoken, beholden-to-no-man trainer, Mr. John Campo, then becomes a prophet, and right in his own hometown. Maybe from now on they'll call the races the Campo Town races. Hoping to make a contest out of it, at least he'll be first out of the gate, is the speedy Bold Ego, staying with a favorite Paristo in a new entry Summing and an old adversary Woodchopper. The line says it's going to be Pleasant Colony and four will get you nine. And the self-styled fat man will get a place in the racing manual under the heading, What Did I Tell You? I'm Wynn, not so sure, Elliot. For CBS Radio Sports.
You can hear Wynn Elliott and the Belmont live over many of the CBS radio stations beginning at 5:25 Eastern Time this afternoon. Remnants of the season's first tropical depression are moving through the mid-south toward the mid-Atlantic coast today, spawning some tornadoes along the way. Heavy rain from the system has soaked parts of the Tennessee and Ohio valleys, and flash flood watches have been posted for some areas. 3 to 4 feet of water washed through the streets of West Memphis, Arkansas overnight. Some embarrassment for authorities at the Federal Metropolitan Correctional Institute in Manhattan last night. Two bank robbery suspects escaped from the center by sliding down 30 feet of knotted bedsheets. One was later recaptured. The other is still at large.
Bill Schweitzer with Sports Time. Will we have a 12th Triple Crown winner in horse racing history later today? Or will we have the 10th horse who won the first two jewels of the crown flop in the try for the big one? We'll find out with the running of the Belmont Stakes. You'll hear the race call on most of these CBS stations. Now, everybody knows the flamboyant fat man, Johnny Campo, is the trainer of Pleasant Colony, the Triple Crown threat. But Campo just started training the horse in March. Why has the colt suddenly come into his own?
That we could change a baseball team or a football team. Look at this kid, Jim Plunkett. What's a better story than Jim Plunkett? What's a better... I watched Jim Plunkett when he... And I thought he was a good quarterback, but he didn't have the... He had the ability, but didn't have the... Look what happened. Win the Super Bowl.
And Campo will tell you to cinch. Pleasant Colony is going to win his own Super Bowl later today. Now, why is Pleasant Colony so good? Campo says, just look at his ears.
Any horse that has flap ears in our business, most of them are good horses. You can talk to any trainer that had a flap ear horse, and most of them are good horses. And he's a flat-footed horse. That's a good horse.
Johnny Campo's all set to make the trip to the winner's circle.
You be the judge. Which is the better deal? $600 for a transmission, $1,500 for an engine, or about $30 for a Hayden oil cooler? Smaller engines, higher RPMs, emission controls, air conditioning, and extra loads make your oil temperature so hot that it can burn out vital parts in your engine and transmission. Hayden keeps the oil cool and helps your car last much longer. So which is the better deal? Hundreds of dollars for repairs or $29.95? For a Hayden oil cooler. Hayden oil coolers. If you've got money to burn, you don't need one.
Mornings seem to start out better. You seem to go much better when you start the day together. Maxwell House and you get that good to the last dog feeling. With Maxwell House, only Maxwell House.
A taste, a feeling like no other coffee. Always good to the last drop.
National League yesterday, the best team in the majors played the worst team. And guess what? The worst won. Cubs over the Dodgers 4-3. Maybe it'll be a different story today, though. The best team throws the best pitcher. Fernando Valenzuela will go for the Dodgers. And Kenny Reitz, what do you think of that?
I'm looking forward to seeing him for the first time, you know. And he got a lot of publicity and he's pitched good and... It'll be exciting
faces. Yeah, and Kenny and the Cubs may welcome the challenge, but Dusty Baker will tell you,
Fernando,
so do the Dodgers.
More electricity to the game itself, as far as there's usually more people in the stands, usually more reporters around, usually a little bit more excitement.
And usually more Dodger wins. Last night in the National League, Nolan Ryan beat his former team for the first time. 10 strikeouts, a five-hitter, Astros over the Mets, 3-0. Braves took the Phils, Reds over the slumping Expos. Cards stopped the Padres in 13 innings. They move into first place in the East. Giants over the Pirates. The American League... But first this.
There's are the disabled, the handicapped, men and women who make up 10 to 20% of the population. Although there has been considerable progress, still old stereotypes are keeping this huge minority from equal treatment. They don't want pity, they need understanding. And that's going to take greater awareness from all of us. Be sure to hear a fact-filled special documentary, Assignment 81, It's Okay to Wonder. Thursday, June 11th at 6:30 p.m. on KNX News Radio.
The Yankees continue to be a red-hot team. They beat the White Sox 6-5 on Rick Cerrone's sac fly in the 12th inning. That's 7 wins in 8 games since Mount St. Steinbrenner erupted. Everybody in that tight race kept close. Orioles snapped a 5-game losing streak. They beat the Angels. Stay percentage points ahead. Indians hammered the Mariners. Yaz and Rice back-to-back homers. Red Sox over the A's. Brewers topped the Royals, and Tigers shut out the Twins. 4.5 games separate the top 6 teams. Bill Schweitzer, CBS Radio Sports.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. Israeli warplanes have bombed Iraq's nuclear reactor outside Baghdad and, according to the Israeli military command, have completely destroyed it. The raid took place yesterday but was not announced until this morning. The reactor was not in operation yet, but the Israelis say it posed a mortal danger to the people of Israel. Bob Simon reports from Tel Aviv.
Military sources here say it was one of the most complex operations ever carried out by the Israeli Air Force. Bombers laden with heavy ordnance had to be protected by fighter escorts. Sophisticated precautions were needed to ensure surprise, secrecy of communications, refueling, and neutralization of the ground-to-air defense capability of the nations over which the planes had to fly on their way to Baghdad. Sources here say the total destruction of the heavily reinforced reactor points to the use of special bombs with a high penetrating capability and huge destructive power. The Israeli military establishment, overjoyed by the fact that there were no Israeli losses, considers it the most remarkable operation since the rescue at Entebbe 5 years ago. Prime Minister Begin, in a radio broadcast tonight, insisted that nothing less than the existence of Israel was at stake. He said Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein planned to manufacture Hiroshima-type bombs and use them against the state of Israel. Begin waited until the last hour, he said. By July or September, the reactor would have been hot, operational. An airstrike then would have brought about a massive radioactive fallout over Baghdad. Bob Simon, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
French radio stations say a French technician was killed in the Israeli raid. That raid has presented the United States with another crisis in the Middle East, just when Philip Habib is making another effort to avert war between Israel and Syria over the Syrian missiles in Lebanon. That effort is on the back burner tonight as the State Department studies this latest complication. Robert Pierpoint reports.
Secretary of State Haig was informed by Israel of the attack several hours after it took place and passed the word on to President Reagan about 2:30 yesterday afternoon. However, the Reagan administration held up the news until Israel announced the raid this morning, when it was confirmed here by Department spokesman Dean Fisher. The spokesman insisted the administration had no prior knowledge of Israel's action.
The United States government condemns the reported Israeli airstrike on the Iraq nuclear facility, the unprecedented character of which cannot but seriously add to the already tense situation in the area. Available evidence suggests that U.S. provided equipment was employed in possible violation of the applicable agreement under which it was sold to Israel.
Meantime, the Reagan administration is working to head off retaliation by Iraq and its Arab allies and to get the Habib peace mission back on the track. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the State Department.
More news after this.
And did you take this business to be your awfully wedded spouse?
No, I hate being married to my business.
You can help set yourself free with an IBM small business computer.
Computer? IBM? For my business?
With low-cost programs that can help free you from the drudgery of payroll, inventory, billing.
I can get back to being my own boss?
And to being married to your wife.
My wife? Ooh, what time is it? She's waiting.
For more about IBM's low-cost, easy-to-use small computers, call 800-241-2003. A little IBM can mean a lot of freedom.
United Van Lines presents Stiller and Mira,
Myrna, you're not holding up your end.
Howard, the couch is heavy.
One more flight of stairs. We got it made.
There's an easier way to move. Call United Van Lines.
We save money by moving ourselves. Trust me.
Last time I trusted you, we had twins. Call United.
What's wrong with the truck I rented?
It smells funny inside. United vans are sanitized treated.
Myrna, the couch.
United Van Lines are the quality movers.
Okay, Myrna, drop it.
Now?
Now. Myrna!
And United takes the pain out of moving.
United Van Lines. We're in the yellow pages.
Lech Walesa returned to Poland today from one of his rare trips outside the country and plunged immediately into the crisis that is boiling up over the Kremlin's demands for tougher government control. Bert Quint has a report from Warsaw.
Walesa, who was attending an International Labor Organization conference while his fellow leaders of Solidarity's National Commission voted to support the Bydgoszcz chapter demands, told reporters, "We have had other crises," and expressed his confidence that common sense would prevail. A plenary session of the Polish Communist Party Central Committee is to take place tomorrow. It was convoked suddenly yesterday, apparently to deal with a message from Moscow virtually ordering the party to start rolling back on reforms before the National Party Congress scheduled for next month has a chance to institutionalize the dramatic changes that have taken place in Poland since last summer. After all these months of taking two steps toward reform to please their fellow Poles and one back to appease their allies, the Polish leadership now appears to find itself in the position of having to make a perhaps irreversible move in one direction or the other. Bert Quint, CBS News, Warsaw.
More news when the World Tonight continues.
Children laugh with a TV show. We brighten lovers' eyes with lights so soft and low. We make you pretty.
Oh, so pretty.
We make you smile.
Gee, we bring good things to live in. We bring good things to life. We bring you closer. The ones you love, gee,
we bring good things.
We bring good things to live in
every day.
We bring good things to love.
We bring it.
Almost two decades ago, Congress declared women deserve equal pay for equal work. Today, the United States Supreme Court reinforced that. Fred Graham reports.
The case arose at the Washington County, Oregon jail, where women matrons did not do the same work as male guards, but there was evidence they were underpaid for what they did do. Some of them sued for higher wages. Today, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that female employees who are underpaid because they're in traditional women's jobs can sue for reimbursement under the federal civil rights laws, which forbid discrimination on the basis of sex. Some women's groups had hoped that the court would also endorse a theory called comparable work, which would have given women the right to higher pay based on the value of their work as compared to what men are paid for what they do. Justice William Brennan's majority opinion conceded that the decision does open the door for women to claim that theory, but he said the court would not decide that issue in this case. Fred Graham, CBS News at the Supreme Court.
The Wall Street Report in a moment.
Hello, I'd like to present to you Canon's simplest copier ever. The NP120, the One Touch. Simple to operate without a hitch. There's not even a power switch. You just touch the copy key and look, it starts instantly. And then it shuts off automatically, saving energy. Nice touch, that Canon One Touch. But more than simple, it's versatile. Copies up to 10 by 14 on paper of virtually any style. 12 copies a minute. I say, nice touch, that Canon One Touch. And now, about its size, I'm sure you'll be, as I was, quite surprised to find it easily fits on a desk. Aha! A simple copier at its best. Amazingly, it's all due to Canon's Micronics technology. Now at your Canon dealer, you shall see. The One Touch is priced economically. Yes, it will give you more time to do important things like learning rhymes.
The Canon NP120. The One Touch. Micronics makes it simple.
Stocks were mixed on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrials closed around 995, up 1.85. The average price per share was up 2 cents on the New York Exchange, where the volume was more than 41 million shares. The average price was down 11 cents in trading on the American Exchange. Wall Street on this World Tonight.